This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaning. It is 7.35 in the morning, Tuesday the 13th of August. Don't forget too, we're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. We're asking you which is a better policy to increase wages. The options are increase minimum wage, reduce foreign workers, neither, or it's complicated. Be sure to tell us what you think and we'll be taking a look at the results throughout the morning. Looking at some international headlines, though, operations have resumed at Hong Kong Airport this morning, according to airport authorities, with flights expected to begin arriving and taking off in the coming hour after protests shut down the travel hub.
A spokesperson for the airport said that the airport has resumed check-ins and the flight status board at the departures hall showed several flights listed as boarding soon, with new takeoff times listed for others. Passengers with luggages were also being checked in for flights, and only a handful of the thousand of protesters who flooded the airport a day earlier remained in the building. Now, authorities announced on Monday afternoon the cancellation of all remaining arriving and departing flights from the airport after more than 5,000 black-clad pro-democracy protesters staged a peaceful rally at the building.
So, I mean, throughout the evening, protesters gradually left the airport, but there was no police operation to clear them by force. So we see the shutdown was the latest move to disrupt transportation by the pro-democracy protesters. And this follows weeks of after, you know, all the violent clashes as well as, you know, with police and subway and airport being disrupted in the same, during this period. Some were stranded on the tarmac as protesters, at the airport handed out flyers. I mean, they were spraying painted graffiti as well as pasted posters of aggressive police tactics.
Yeah, so I think it is reassuring to see that this was a peaceful rally, because the most recent actions by protesters are any indication, that's not necessarily a guarantee anymore over there in Hong Kong. But we have also seen some Chinese companies start to weigh in on these Hong Kong protests, specifically Cathay Pacific. So sticking to the aviation note, sources told Bloomberg that Chinese state-run firms have told employees to avoid taking Cathay Pacific Airways flights. China Huarong International, which is a unit of the country's largest bad debt manager by assets and conglomerate China Resources National, they've sent out directions to avoid flying with Cathay.
Yeah, this is after a number of their employees took part in the general strike, isn't it? Which resulted in the cancellation of 100 flights yesterday. And this, you know, the action of Cathay's employees prompted China's English language Global Times, the nationalist paper published by the Communist Party, to warn the company would pay a painful price as a result.
Yes, this is the Chinese way to add subtle pressure to kind of send a signal to Hong Kong or the protesters that they're not very happy with the situation, right? So as usual, you know, you go after the bottom line of the company. Meanwhile, on Friday, the Civil Aviation of China also turned up pressure with its directives, right? Ordered Cathay to ban all employees who supported or joined the protest from flying to the mainland.
Yeah, no. And that's quite a fun, interesting note for me, right? Because my initial reaction upon seeing that is you can't ban people from work, you know, just for their political beliefs. But then, you know, China doesn't have the best track record when it comes to protecting the human rights of its people. And actually, yesterday, Cathay's shares lost 4.9% to $9.80. And that was their lowest level since June of 2009. Even Cathay's parent, Swire Pacific, that fell 6.2%, the most in actually almost 4 years.
So, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, that whether or not government should interfere when it comes to workers wanting to express their political beliefs. So, and this is putting Cathay in that right smack in between that two places, that tough, which is balancing the wrath of the worker or those of China, possibly the company's most important market.
Remember, guys, during the bursary rallies, during the many bursary rallies, we did have some companies who actually issued directives, right, to staff that they couldn't attend them. And there was a lot of backlash. And I think some of the companies, as there were more rallies, kind of stopped doing that. Because at the end of the day, the right to protest...
It works, I guess. Right.
It didn't work for some people. In fact, it made some people even more determined to go and rally, right? Because it's some people say, this is my civil liberty. I have the right to exercise it. So, you know, I don't know how far this Hong Kong rallies will continue. But for sure, we're beginning to see its effect on the economy. The Hang Seng Index, I mean, there's been total 10 weeks of protests, right, since March. And the Hang Seng Index has actually gone down 11% year to date. And you also have some billionaires weighing in on all this, whether cooler minds should prevail.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do see retail sales coming down. Tourism is affected. This is the negative impact of any protest. I'm not saying that I'm for or against, but for sure, the economy does begin to feel a little bit of the pain from all these weekly protests.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether what that's going to spell out for the future of the protest as well, right? Because if you take a look at the umbrella movement that took place in Hong Kong as well, and when they occupied essentially the central financial district of Hong Kong, that one of the reasons why that failed to win concessions, was put up to the fact that they lost public support because they were negatively impacting Hong Kong's business activities. And now these protests that started over the extradition bill and grew to encompass you know, vast unhappiness with China's interference with Hong Kong's sovereign status, right? The one country, two systems policy. And now you're seeing this protest movement fracture, and whether or not it's going to survive past this point, when you have actual businessmen starting to pull away from the movement and say that, you know, better not to support this. I don't know how that's going to affect the protest going forward.
It'll be interesting also to note come September, right, when term starts, because I think the profile of the protesters to date have been very young. We have seen, I think, many students participating.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently some of the pressure has been in the press to tell parents to actually curb their children, withdraw the pocket money so that their kids don't go out, and remind the kids that, hey, you know, your term starts in September, go back to school. I don't know whether this will galvanize them even more to have these weekly protests, or will actually have numbers drop off. But we have seen the number of protesters drop off from the peak, right? At the peak, we had as many as, 2 million protesters out of a total population of 7 million. But on the flip side, the protest movement has somewhat, their breakaway have seen some violence, which in the past was never the case.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, looking at the demographic, a lot of them are the young ones. And these are the generation that is going to be part of, once these two systems are being consolidated, mm-hmm. which is going to be within the next 20 to 30 years' time. And as you can see right now, it's already difficult. And how would it be in 30 years' time? How difficult it would be
to them integrate?
Integrate. I mean, it's already, the belief system is that they're quite firm with regards to what they think how a government should be run.
And they've enjoyed the freedom of the internet. They're not like they're Chinese in China who have no access to even things like Google and Facebook.
Not to mention the fact that Hong Kong has had a long history of these kinds of protests. When the public disagrees with something that the Legislative Council has put through, the Hong Kong Executive Government, because it is widely seen as not being actually controlled by the people of Hong Kong, because of Beijing has so much sway over the actual decisions put forward by the government, that in fact that it feels, I think, for a lot of the Hong Kong public, it feels like street demonstrations are the only way to get their point across. And they have been successful in the past. So I can see how this would fuel this sort of this protest culture almost, because there were education protests about a controversial education bill, I think about 10 years ago, and that was led by students. And a lot of those student leaders then went on to be leaders of the umbrella movement.
And the way out, even looking at the possible way out, is quite difficult, because mm-hmm. even if Carrie Lam do wish to step down, that has been intervened as well by the Beijing government. They don't want her to step down. They are giving their support for her to remain that post. So it's being, you know, this is a very difficult situation that's happening in Hong Kong.
I think very much with Carrie Lam, it's a case of, you made this mess, now you have to clean it up. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.